All right, another Wednesday rolls around pretty quick, and the ladies of Pet Chat are back today. Firstly, Dr. Fiona, who's actually come straight from work by the looks of things in her attire.
I have dressed for the occasion.
Yep, and also with name badge, so that's also handy.
I may or may not have forgotten to take that off.
And Cheryl Shaw, always a pleasure for you.
Thank you.
Now, you don't bring the name badge, but you always bring a brooch.
And I do.
Yours is kind of easy to figure out today. You've got the purple poppy, and there's an Anzac Day theme for you.
It is. I just thought I'd keep on topic for that. And do you know what the purple poppy's all about, Mark?
I do. I know the red one is like to symbolise the veterans, the people.
Yes.
Purple for pets or for the animals.
For the animals, yes. Those animals that could have been forgotten about in war.
Cheryl Shaw is here, and Dr. Fiona, you've been busy. You're making other diagnoses on your own private mobile phone there.
No, I wasn't. I was 100% focused and ready to help people of Pet Chat.
That was me telling you that you're actually helping people and you just blew it. G'day. It's all good. G'day, Mick at Cessnock. Your 11-year-old boxer is a little wobbly. What's happening, Mick?
Yeah, g'day, Mark, and g'day to the girls.
How are you, Mick?
Yeah, well, I'm fine, thanks. Battling on. I've had boxes, you know, I've had a couple of sets and lost one on Australia Day. And
okay.
He's got his brother left, Oscar, and every now and then he gets these sort of wobbles. And it's, I don't know, if I could say a mini stroke, but he sort of bumps into things, wanders and whatever. And I say, lay down. And then once he lays down and settles, he's fine. But I don't know what it is. I really don't know.
Okay, and how many times would you say this is happening, Mick?
Well, as I said earlier, probably, I don't know, once every couple of days.
Okay, and how long does the episode seem to last for?
Oh, 5-10 minutes.
Okay, and he's bumping into things, is he, when it happens?
Oh, and it's like he's, what's the word, another planet.
Yeah, okay. Is he responsive? Do you think he's aware of his surroundings and aware of you talking to him?
When he gets into that stage, I'd say it's like he's lost.
Yeah, okay. And does he lose his bowels at all or urinate or vomit at any point during these episodes?
No, none of that. Just wobbles and crashes into things and round in circles on the veranda. And then I say to him, sit down, lay down, and then he's fine.
Yeah, okay. Look, with that age and that breed, Mick, and that history, I would certainly be quite concerned that we've got maybe a neurological or a cardiovascular issue there. I would certainly recommend that you do get him checked by your local vet, Mick, just in case there is something that we can do to help, or some advice or prognosis, that sort of thing that we can give you. But yeah, I'd be getting that checked by a vet.
Okay, then.
Yeah, best of luck with it.
Yeah, well, you know, he's 11. I've had four sets of boxes, and, you know, he's the last one, and I've said to my wife, once he's gone, God love him no more.
Yeah, look, he's done well for his age, but, yeah, I'd get him checked for sure.
Thanks so much, Mick. Good afternoon, Jane at Singleton. Your six-month-old French bulldog having some trouble on the toot. What's going on, Jane?
Well, thanks for taking my call.
Our pleasure.
I do believe he's been brought up on a puppy farm.
Okay.
And he's been to the vet, and the vet said that for a six-month-old, he's about the size of a four-month-old.
So how long have you had him, Jane?
We've had him now for about 2 months, 3 months.
Okay.
2 months.
Yep.
Yeah. So he eats his poop.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes outside, and he's outside playing, and everything. The minute you come inside, he'll do his business.
Okay. Is that wheeze and poos?
Yes.
Okay. And what did your local vet say when you discussed it with them? The urination issue hasn't been discussed before?
It hasn't been discussed, no. It was more the fact that the size of him, he needs to be dissected, but he reckons he'd leave him for a while yet because he's only small.
Okay.
Yeah.
And is he doing all his toileting inside or some of it? Or
pretty well, yes.
All of it?
Pretty well, yes. It just seems to me like he's, well, when we picked him up, he'd never been on the grass.
Yeah, okay.
And I think that he just thinks that he'll just go where he wants and eat. He just does not stop. It doesn't matter what it is, he'll eat it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, look, sounds like he's had a tough start in life, that's for sure.
He's had a very
tough start. Look, toilet training a dog is, it can be challenging and it can be tricky, but it all comes down to consistency and providing him the opportunity to do the right thing. He basically thinks the house is a toilet.
That's it.
Yeah, so we have to re-educate him.
Yes.
That actually the house is not the toilet, the outside is the toilet. So a couple of tips I would suggest to start with. I think you kind of mentioned it earlier, but as soon as he wakes up or as soon as he's finished eating, he needs to go outside to toilet. The other thing that may increase your chances of success, because it's hard to watch them 100% of the time. You know,
well,
you've probably got other things that you need to be doing
rather than a puddle every now and then. You know, and I thought, well, when did you just make that one in?
Yeah. So certainly, if you're finding accidents in the house, it's important not to get him in trouble for it. Okay, because he's not going to understand unless you literally catch him in the act.
Yeah.
I would be trying to introduce a crate. Okay. So that if he's inside,
I bought a travel cot, a baby's travel cot.
Oh, yeah.
And he's in that.
Okay. Does he toilet in that?
No.
Okay.
Not yet. I've only had it for one day.
Okay.
I put him in there overnight, so he hasn't done anything in that.
So he doesn't toilet overnight in the house?
2 o'clock. Well, he's in that cot, so he can't get out of it, see?
Okay. Okay, and is he sort of whining overnight, as in, Mum, let me out of the cot, I need to go to the toilet?
He did it 2 o'clock this morning and I got up and took him out for a wee and then he went back to bed, so.
And he did the wee outside?
Yes, he did.
Fantastic. All right. Yeah. Well, you've got the bare bones of what you need to be doing, okay? So it sounds like hopefully, because he thinks that cot's his bed, he's not going to toilet in it, okay? So you need to be keeping him in there. Unless you have 100% eyes on, and to start for the first few weeks, I'd be leaving him in there, right? Yep. And then take him out once an hour, play with him. If he toilets outside, he gets big rewards or big plays or cuddles or toys, whatever it is that works for him. Mm-hmm. But if he's in that house, I would be recommending that he's in that that porta cot. I would stick with that for a little while. If you're not having success, definitely have a chat to your local vet and see if they have any good ideas. Cheryl, have you got anything that you'd add to that?
Yeah, I'd definitely be taking him out to the same space all of the time to go to the toilet so he gets used to that particular area is where he's got a toilet. And a lot of the times dogs don't understand that there's a space that they should go. So they get really confused when they come inside, they're relaxed, and then they just go to the toilet. If you get used to taking him out to the same space, even if you're taking him out on a lead and just standing there, if you just stand there, the dog will relax because it's not about play. It's just about, once they relax, they'll go to the toilet. Then you can take the leash off and encourage the dog back inside because he would have been rewarded for going to the toilet with praise and things like that outside. Mm. But often they just don't understand where the right place is to go to the toilet.
So it just sounds like it's just perseverance.
Yeah, absolutely. He's still young, so you've got an opportunity just to, you know, as Dr. Fiona was saying, keeping him in his little pen so that he's not able to access other areas of the house and go to the toilet, and then you establish that pattern of where you want him to toilet and take him out regularly. Usually it takes about 50 days to toilet a dog. Yeah. So, and people expect puppies to suddenly be toilet trained, but you've got to just persevere. And I always have this rule. If your dog makes a mistake, you're back to day one. So I got to 49 days with my dog and then she weed inside. And so I was back to day one. So it does come good, but it takes about 50 days.
Just keep in mind as well, Jane, 50 days is not too long. Some ladies never get their husbands to have the right toilet etiquette ever.
Best of luck, Jane. But, yeah, you're on the right track. Just persistence.
Thank you very much.
And, let us know how you go.
Cheryl Shaw is still here with us, as is Dr. Fiona. And good afternoon, Julie at Clarencetown. Your 9-month-old mini Foxy Cross pup loves a little jumping up, doesn't it? Don't they, Julie?
He does. He does. He's the most beautiful little dog. He gets overly excited.
Okay. Yep. Tell me more.
So
I've got on my screen here, Julie, that he's been jumping up and biting and that sort of thing. Is that right?
Yes, he's nipping, and he's not being nasty. He just gets overly excited, but yep. It's usually when we wake up in the morning or when we get home from work, he gets himself in a flap and he's jumping. And we've tried stop, no, the general thing, but he still keeps doing it. He's got an older brother, Charlie, and Charlie would be going on 2 years old.
Yep.
But, yeah, it's becoming a problem because even we can't wear really nice clothes and that around him when we go out, which happened to me yesterday. But, yeah, he's a gorgeous little thing.
And is it behaviour, you think, Julie, that's getting progressively worse or it's just not improving? What would you say?
It's not improving.
Okay. And you mentioned if you know, when you first wake up of a morning or when you get home from being out, are there other instances that it's happening as well?
When the post woman comes around and that, he'll be very vocal. When you take him for a walk, he can tend to veer over to people and other dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. And did he do puppy preschool or anything like that, Julie?
No.
Okay. All right. I mean, essentially what you're describing is a dog who we use the word arousal. He's highly aroused and highly excitable and has very minimal control over his emotions, basically.
Yes. Like
he's just so excited. He just doesn't know what to do with himself, which is turning into jumping and biting. Obviously, that's something that we don't want we don't want to continue, and it's not okay. Is he de-sexed yet, Julie?
He is. He was probably de-sexed about 6 or 7 weeks ago.
Okay, okay. Has that made any difference at all at this stage?
Not really, no.
Okay, okay. Look, we're basically, Julie, it comes down to obedience type training. Okay.
Yeah.
It can be incredibly tricky when he's full of beans, okay, because he just can't listen, okay?
Yep.
It may well be, for example, that he needs to be spending some time in the backyard when you first arrive home, okay, just to sort of have time to cool off. But basically, even if you're saying no or hop down or stay, that sort of thing, it's still attention that he's getting. He doesn't recognise that it's negative attention as opposed to positive attention. It's just still attention. Okay.
Yep, I understand that.
So if someone, for example, if someone else is in the house and you're arriving home, they want to be putting the dog on a lead, okay, having treats ready, having you sit and stay, that sort of thing, and it's not until he's settled that he gets attention from you.
Okay.
All right, because as we talked about before, negative attention is still attention, okay?
Yes, I agree.
All right, so if someone's home to be able to put him on a lead before you get home, that's sort of an ideal situation.
Yeah, that's worth a try.
Yeah, if no one's home, then I'd be definitely sort of wanting him to stay out the back, for example, in the morning if he's super excited, straight on a lead, straight outside with minimal interaction. Okay.
Yep.
Again, you're aiming for no attention until he's doing the right thing rather than negative attention.
Well, I think that's something we can work on because even getting up in the morning, even though we go to work really early and that, we could easily put him on the lead and pop him out the back to help settle him before he gets attention.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I'd be starting with that. There's lots of other options. You may want to end up talking to your local vet or giving a dog trainer a call if you're not having much luck. But I think there's some pearls, Julie, to get you started there.
Best of luck with everything, Julie. Good afternoon to Robin at Allendale. Robin, your Maltese back leg's not working.
No.
Tell me more, Robin.
We have a little Maltese Shih Tzu, Charlie. He's 13-year-old this year.
Yep.
And he started to go in his back legs probably about 6 months ago.
Yes.
He just could tell he was not walking really good.
Mm-hmm.
We've had him to vets quite a lot.
Okay.
Some said it's arthritis, some said it's neurological. But over the past few weeks, poor, he's just got worse. Aww. I've noticed now his little back, left back leg, he can't sort of put it to the ground. It's like it's bent around in a funny shape. He used to be able to, like, jump up the hallway, you know, run, but jumping with the back legs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But now, this past few days, oh, it's really sad to see. He's dragging his legs along behind him.
That's no good.
And
Robin.
My husband, you know, I don't think wants to come to the reality, but it breaks my heart just seeing him every day. He carries him out to the toilet now, and he's even falling over a bit on the grass, you know, when he puts him down.
Is he having toileting accidents, Robin?
He has weed twice on the carpet in the last week, once last night and once about a week ago. But my husband does take him out quite regularly.
Okay.
And he does still try to let you know, he cries when he wants to go out.
And is he on any medications, Robin?
He's had different lots of medications over the past 12 months, but not at the moment, no.
Okay.
We just feel like what they've given him now isn't making any difference.
Okay,
and
all right.
I just thought, I'm just worried that, you know, and he cries a lot now. He's never done this morning when I was going out.
Yeah.
He was crying at my feet, wanting me to pick him up. Now, he's never been a dog like this.
Mm-hmm.
He loves you, but he's always just jump on you.
Yeah,
but now it's like a little cry. And I notice when he's sitting over in the lounge room on the carpet, he's making these little cry, whimpery noises, and you wonder, is he in pain? Because they can't tell you.
Yeah, look, Robin, I would definitely recommend. I'm not sure when he was last taken to the vet, but I'd be definitely wanting someone to examine him and going through the options of what medications are available.
Yes.
If for whatever reason they feel that medication's not going to help or we're running out of options, then it may be a bit of a quality of life chat that you need to have with the vet. But I would absolutely be getting him in sooner rather than later, Robin, and seeing if we can help him in some way.
Yes, as I say, we regularly take him, but it's probably about a month since he's been. But he's deteriorated in the past few weeks.
Yeah, definitely give them a call and see what they can do to help him for sure.
Thanks so much for calling in, Robin. Good afternoon to you, Sandy. Sandy at Dungog, what's happening with your dog, Sandy?
My son has rented a granny flat and he's got a new house and he can't take the dog with him. So I said I'd take care of her.
Mm-hmm.
She's a black Labrador. She's a beautiful dog, but if my son doesn't come home through work issues in a couple of days, she frets. She frets big time.
Oh, okay.
So he's going to move out, and she's not going to be happy, but my son can't help it. He can't take the dog to his new home. So I just want to know, what can I do to help her get through this?
So, Sandy, are you currently living with the dog?
Yes.
Okay, so it's the dog's normal environment and she's used to the house and used to you and used to your comings and goings, that sort of thing?
Yes.
Okay, and have you got any other pets?
I've got a cat.
Do they interact at all or not really?
Off and on, it depends.
Okay. Look, there's lots of things we can help do. Has your son moved out yet?
No.
Okay, how long till he moves out?
End of the month. Towards early May.
Okay, all righty. There's a few things I would be doing, and it might be hard for your son, but basically you want the dog to be less reliant on your son, and by default that may mean more reliant on you, okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
So if your son normally feeds or walks the dog or lets the dog sleep with him, then whatever you can to do to sort of take over that role of being the primary person in her life.
Well, because my son works all the time, the dog is up here with me all the time. She's actually sitting on my lounge just so relaxed. She knows me and she knows...
Okay, well, that's good.
But she knows certain times of the day she's up and she's waiting for my son to come home. She sits at the gate because she knows what time of day that he gets home.
Yeah, they're smart, aren't they?
Yeah.
Look, so, okay, so it sounds like in that respect, you know, you could sort of definitely take over even more so what your son would be doing with the dog. But also I'd be looking at ways that we can decrease the dog's anxiety and the dog's stress levels. There are various nutraceuticals we can get. So they're not drugs as such. They're the sort of more natural products that can aim at decreasing stress and anxiety. There's something called Adaptil, which is a dog-based pheromone product. It can come in plug-in diffusers and sprays, and it also comes in a collar that lasts for a month. So it might be sensible to definitely get one of those for her for the next few months.
From the vet?
Yes, I'm pretty sure you can get them from larger pet shops as well. And there's another product that can be quite good, and again, basically no side effects and can be helpful, is a product called Zilkeen, which is also a milk-based protein which can decrease anxiety levels as well. And even some food or some dog treats also you can get that can decrease anxiety a little bit. I don't think we're at the stage of needing actual anti-anxieties for her. I'd like to see how you can go without that. But basically it comes down to trying to minimise her stress levels. And it sounds like you've got a bit of time up your sleeve, which definitely would be helpful. Cheryl, yeah. Anything you've got that you can think of?
I do think that the collar would be a great option.
Yep.
Yeah, because the dog's familiar with that environment. So just taking the edge off was all I think we need.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think you'll be fine, Sandy. Any questions, don't hesitate to call back. Or if you've got a local vet that she's used to seeing, don't hesitate to seek their advice.
A little bit more of Pet Chat on the run-up to the news at 1 o'clock. Dr. Fiona is here, as is Cheryl Shaw. Cheryl, we've brought the brooch in today, your purple poppy. So one back from Anzac Day. Let's make the most of it.
Yeah, now the purple poppy, it represents the animals that have died during war times, and it was actually brought about in 2006 by Animal Aid, who believed that people were forgetting about the wonderful jobs that the animals did during the wars. One of the things we've got to remember that often people surrendered their animals because they couldn't afford to feed them during, you know, times of famine and times where there were, you know, food vouchers and things like this. But also lots of animals were taken from shelters when they were surrendered and taken overseas. So some of those animals were horses. Horses did an amazing job in wars. They just are so fabulous carrying military, carrying ammunition, food and water. And unfortunately, so many horses never returned. You know, it was just such a sad thing that's happened. And apart from the horses, donkeys also played a big part. We'll all remember, you know, Simpson's donkey, Duffy, who carried all those wounded soldiers. But donkeys also help a lot with post-traumatic stress disorder. So often soldiers would, be comforted by donkeys. And also dogs. Dogs were fabulous for comforting soldiers during bad times. And I don't know if you've heard about the mercy dogs. What mercy dogs were dogs that were left with dying soldiers so that they had someone to accompany them through that journey of death. And I just think that is so incredibly sad. And we don't realise some of the things that have happened during war times too. You know, often somebody's pet who's gone overseas to help. Dogs still do an amazing job, you know, finding mines and, sort of searching for bombs and things that are happening in Afghanistan. That's still going on. There's just so much that's our pets and dogs that are trained for these services do. Things like during the wars, we've got to remember too that dogs were wearing gas masks. You know, this was something that you sort of even think of. Yeah. You know, people struggle to put a muzzle on a dog, let alone put a gas mask. And just some of the things, if you go to the war museum, you'll see that a lot of soldiers kept different pets. You know, they might find something along the way, whether it be a monkey or a bird or whatever. You'll see those in the war museum, the different animals that that the soldiers kept for morale, for just making sure that they could keep their morale up. Or even some of them said they kept pets for good luck. You know, some kept little creepy things that they found along the way just to make them feel, you know, good. So, you know, my big thing about it is just remembering what animals serve. There, you know, things like canaries were taken into for mines, you know, to find the gas and things like that. Cats were used in trenches to get mice and could you get rats to prevent disease. And also on ships.
It'd be a field day for them, wouldn't it?
Oh, wouldn't it be incredible? Yeah. But often, you know, this the soldiers would befriend these animals, and they became their companions during war. It gave them some comfort. And, you know, just remembering these pets tomorrow when we're all, you know, at our services, I think it's really an important thing that we don't lose sight that animals do play an important part in wars and just, you know, the things that they do. It's, yeah.
Mm. All right, a great message there. And again, a lot of stuff that was news to me, Cheryl. Thanks for that.
That's okay.
Yeah.
You know, Mark, another thing, slugs. Do you know slugs were used in the war?
Is this for medical purposes, is it?
No, they actually can... They could detect small amount of mustard gas and they start to sort of cringe up. And so then the soldiers would know to don their masks because the slugs would indicate that there was the presence of gas.
That's amazing.
I mean, they're not a pet, but it's still an animal.
Yeah.
That's, again, now we really, Fiona, we've really learned something there.
Absolutely. I'm always one that's happy to learn something new and, yeah, there are some amazing things there.
Mm. All right. Thanks so much for that, Cheryl, and lest we forget as well.
Lest we forget.
All right. We are pretty much done with Pet Chat and there is a dog of the count of the week, but we're probably going to run out of time. So they're gorgeous animals up there, ladies.
Yes, worth a look. Absolutely.
Solly the cat and we have Beetle, the seven-year-old beagle.
Oh, beautiful.
Very cute.
So if you're looking to add a pet to your family, yeah, you can check those out and some of the others as well at our website at 2NURFM.com.au. Cheryl Shaw, as always, a pleasure. You're not
Thank
here
you.
Next week.
No, nope.
Fortnight for you and for Fiona.
A few weeks and I'll be back.
All right. So somebody will be here for Pet Chat next week, I'm sure.
Than you, Mark.
Well, I'll be here, but there'll be somebody there. If not, it'll be a lot more music, I can assure you. I can't help you at all.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.